Yes. 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 For those who don't know me, my name is Clark Sell. I am the, I don't know, brainchild behind all this. I am a child at heart. For you kids, you listening? You ready? You could call me Coach Clark. I'm a U.S. licensed soccer coach. Do I have any soccer players out here? Raise your hand. One? Little bit. Place you play more. Just kidding. Got a few? Yes. Any defenders out there? Yes. I coach defense a lot. That's where the game is won, in the backfield. Those guys who take the goals and win, psh, whatever. We had to get them the ball. All right. For you parents, thank you for coming and thank you for entrusting us in this journey. I want to give you guys a little bit of background so you hear it from me, and then we're going to have Emily and Nellie come up on stage and share some of the awesome stuff that they've been working on. So this is our fifth year, 6 years, 7 years ago when we conceived this notion. The notion was to have a conference that was family-friendly, that kids could learn from kids, and that adults could learn from kids. Both of those things are very important to us, our DNA, at that conference or this conference, however you want to use the unspecified terms. Over the years, we started with two kids, I think, in the beginning who spoke, to this year we have almost 30. I find it really interesting that I can get more young ladies to speak than I can young men. So if there are any kids out there who would like to speak next year, come find Coach Clark so that we can talk about that, because I would like to see you speak. We would like to be part of that. For those who have parents, you should go watch your mom or your dad speak. It's what they do. You should see how they do it and how they inspire others to do it. So the family track this year is 600 people. 600. I could tell you that this room holds 950 people. There are not 600 people in here. I'm sure there are some that are changing diapers. I'm sure there's a whole lot at the water park, because I don't even see my kids here, which is a little bit frustrating. Of that 600, there are 380, we'll probably end up pretty close to 400, 380 kids. So that's a giant amount of kids. Next year, I commit to you that we will be able to figure out how to make food work. I know it's a struggle. The pig roast is our dinner where we can all talk and share family stories. We'll completely transform this place to make that happen, and the rooms next door. But we continue to work on this year over year and make it a little bit better. But the cost of what it would cost for you to have a plate is something that you would be unwilling to spend. I know, because I am unwilling to spend it, and I run it. First and foremost, we're a professional conference. To run a conference of this size, we're talking a few, more than a few hundred thousands of dollars to make this happen. We ask all of the professionals to be family friendly, and I ask you kids to also be family friendly. So be respectful of everybody who's around you, but also learn from the people who are around you. How many people are kind of 12 and older? Of you people, not the parents. I get bit by that every year. I am. Okay, you children, or you young children, young adults, if you're over 12 years old and you would like to go see another session, please do. Just ask that when you go to that session, you remember that it's a professional conference. Be respectful of the speaker, but learn from them. There's no reason. I met Emily and Nellie as a result of all of this stuff and my interaction with Scott. They know more about Vex than I could ever dream of. There's no reason you can't go to these other sessions. I just ask that you be mindful of the people who are in there. I also want you to have fun, because, well, that's what life's about, right? We don't want to be, you don't want to be listening to me yip-yap and start talking about stuff. So With that, I'm excited to introduce Emily Davis and Nellie. I have been a huge fan of Emily for a number of years and the stuff that she's done. She spoke here a number of years. I think one of the most exciting things that I'm able to do as part of this platform is offer all of you kids the ability to not look at Coach Clark or some adult, but rather look at some kid who is doing something cool and you might find cool too. If you don't, that's okay. But you got exposure to something that you may have not gotten exposure to before. Now, they have built a robot. Has anybody built a robot in here? Couple? Does anybody want to build a robot? Does anybody think robots are cool? Is anybody worried about robots taking over the world and never letting us play soccer again? Nobody. You kids are. You're worried, little man? No. You sure? It's all right. Smile. Have fun. So, I'm going to get off the stage. Can't wait to meet all of you. Feel free to stop me in the hallway and chit-chat. With that being said, I'm going to let Emily and Nellie talk about a robot that flings frisbees and shoots dodgeballs. So if you're not paying attention, you better watch out because you may actually get hit in the head. No, I'm being serious. That's what they're going to show. All right, with that, let's give a round of applause for Emily and Nellie. It's all yours, girls.
Hello, and welcome to the family keynote. My name is Emily.
My name is Neely, and we are a part of robotics team 2052 Nightcrawler.
I'm glad to be back speaking here at that conference for the third time in a row, and would like to thank Clark and Carrie for inviting us back. We want to give a huge thanks to all of the sponsors who make that conference possible. And today, we're going to tell you the story of a champion. And we'd like to thank Clark again. So thank you, wherever you are. And our goal today is to inspire you to build or join a robotics team. Do something with a robot. I don't care when, we just want to inspire you.
We are part of an organization called FIRST Robotics. FIRST is actually an acronym that stands for Inspiration and Recognition of Science and Technology. And the organization as a whole is aimed to inspire students and make them more comfortable with the engineering process.
There are four programs of FIRST. One is called FIRST LEGO League Junior. This is for kids from grades kindergarten through fourth grade. How many of you are those ages? Okay, not bad. Here, you'll be building a Lego model of something, depending on what you have to do this year, and it will have at least one motorized part. Then we have FIRST Lego League. This is for kids from grade 4th until 8th. How many of you are those ages? Nice. Nice. A little bigger crowd. Here, you'll be building a Lego Mindstorms robot that will perform various tasks. Now we have FIRST Tech Challenge. FIRST Tech Challenge is for kids from grade 7 until 12. How many of you are those ages? Not as much, still not bad. Here you're gonna be building a metal robot, no longer Legos, that has to fit into an 18-inch sizing cube. So you can kinda get how big that would be. And it has to perform various tasks. Finally, we have FIRST Robotics Competition. This is what Neely and I are in. And this is the biggest robot that FIRST has, and it can be up to 120 pounds. These are heavy robots, and they perform awesome tasks.
So the FIRST organization, or the FIRST program, as we talked about, is FIRST LEGO League Junior, and there are two parts to the competition part. The first one is the research. So each team has to research a piece of trash that people like them might throw away and then answer specific questions like, what happens to this trash once you throw it away?
This is only for this year's game, which is called WasteWise. Next year, they're going to have to do something different, but it'll be more or less similar.
The second part is the project part, and this is where teams have to build a Lego model on a 15-inch by 15-inch base plate with at least one motorized part. And then at the end of their season, they have a show me poster that tells people about their team and the information that they found.
Next, we have First Lego League. In First Lego League, this year the game was called Trash Trek. And in this game, there were two elements. First, the research part, and the actual game. In the research part, teams had to research a type of trash, and then they had to figure out a way to reduce pollution for that type of trash. The game, it was played on a table, and it was a Lego Mindstorms robot that was interacting with other Lego pieces. There were 12 missions, and you could choose to do two missions, or all 12, or any combination of them. These are all autonomous robots. Does anyone know what autonomous means when it comes to robots? Just a couple people. Autonomous means that there's no driver behind the robot whatsoever. This is all pre-programmed instructions. These are Lego robots, as I said, and there can be up to 10 people on the team. And we have a video of a robot that performed Trash Trek. Robot was built by kids from ages 4th grade until 8th grade. Again, how many of you are that ages? How many of you think you could have built a robot that cool? Well, if you join First Lego League, you would have the opportunity to. I mean, I couldn't even do that. That was awesome. Now we have First Tech Challenge. First Tech Challenge is a bigger robot that plays on an actual field. This year's game was called First Rescue. And in this game, robots had to climb the mountains on either side of the field that you can see in this image. And they also had to rescue little plastic climbers from the mountains and clear debris off the playing field. Now we have First Robotics Competition. Neely and I are part of this. And in First Robotics Competition, you only have 6 weeks to build your robot. So it was the beginning of January, and we, the entire team, came to school on a Saturday. Who does that? Who does that? And so we came for one reason, and that was to learn what game we're going to be playing. And this is what we saw.
Welcome to the First Robotics Competition and the 2016 Tournament Challenge, First Stronghold. The Alliance quest is to breach the opponent's defenses, known as the Outer Works, weaken their tower with boulders, and capture it. The low bar in position one is permanent. The defense in position three changes periodically by audience selection. Opponents are savvy and will be strategically selecting the remaining three defenses to strengthen their outer works while in line for their next match. There are more than 10,000 possible field configurations. Robots start in the neutral zone and may have one boulder each. Additional boulders will be placed on the midline and in each castle. Alliances may assign a spy bot to start in their opponent's courtyard and a human player to occupy the spy station to signal intelligence about activities on the far side of the field to their castle. The first 15 seconds of the match, the robots are autonomous and may earn points by reaching their opponent's outer works, crossing defenses, and scoring boulders in goals. During the following 2 minute and 15 second teleoperated period, human drivers remotely control their robots. They retrieve boulders, overcome opponent defenses, and score boulders and goals from their opponent's courtyard. The first time a robot fully crosses a defense, some of the base lights will turn off, indicating that defense's strength is reduced. On the second crossing, all lights turn off, indicating that defense is considered damaged. Once any four of the five opponent defenses are considered damaged, the outer works are breached, and the Alliance receives points. Human players deliver boulders to their secret passage through their castle wall. Alliances may have only one robot at a time in their own courtyard to defend their castle. As boulders are scored, the tower loses strength. Once enough boulders are scored in the opponent's tower, the opponent's flag will drop, indicating the tower has been weakened and can now be captured at the end of the match by surrounding it. During the last 20 seconds, robots may extend to reach the tower rungs and scale the tower for additional points. If an alliance captures their opponent's tower at the end of the match, their flag is raised and the alliance earns more points. The alliance with the highest score at the end of the match earns the win. Step into your castle, proudly raise your team standard, and face the challenge ahead at this year's First Robotics Competition, First Stronghold.
So this is the 2016 game. How many of you think you could build a robot in 6 weeks to do all that? Adults, raise your hands too. Okay, not many. Well, spoiler alert, we did most of that stuff.
But it's not all about the robot. There are some awards that you can apply for that are non-robot related. One of these awards is called Chairman's, and this is the most prestigious award in FIRST Robotics. It is awarded to the team that best embodies the purpose and goals of FIRST, and the application consists of essay with executive summaries, a 3-minute video, and a presentation in front of judges at your competition.
There's also an award called Entrepreneurship. This award is all about business and just talking about your team to judges. So about three kids will go talk to judges about their business plan for the team, the strengths and weaknesses of their team, and how they organize their team. By organize, I mean, do we split the team up into different sub-teams where some people program, some people build, or everyone works on the same thing? I want to talk about our team a little bit here. So we are Team 2052 Nightcrawler. Our rookie year was 2007, so we're older than that conference. Our home is Irondale Senior High School, and this is in the Twin Cities area in Minnesota. We had 40 students this year and 17 mentors.
So at the end of our designing and strategizing and prototyping and finally building a robot, we came out with a final product to play this year's game. This is what it looked like.
So we named our robot Termite, and you could see what it could do. And since then, we've made a few modifications, so it's even better than what you see in the video. I want to talk about what we accomplished this year. So this year was by far the best year Nightcrawler has ever had. After our six-week build period, we went up to Duluth, and this was less than a week after build season ended. In Duluth, we competed in the Lake Superior Regional. Here, we became finalists, which means that we got second place. And in addition to being a finalist, one of the teams who had won had already gotten an invitation to go to the first championships. So their extra invitation went to us. So after our first regional, we were already going to championships. Then we came back to the Twin Cities, and we went to the U of M. At the U of M, they host the 10,000 Lakes Regional, and we got first place in that. In addition to that, we won chairmans with the help of Neely over here. And because of that, we got two more invitations to Worlds. That meant that the teams that were in second place, which happened to be two local teams, got to go to Worlds as well. Then after that, a couple weeks later, we all got to school at 4 a.m. to get on a bus to drive 10 hours to St. Louis. 4 a.m., it's early. In St. Louis, we won our division. I'll explain more what that means in a little bit. But we got to go onto the championship field to play with the top 24 robots in the world, the whole world, and we got into quarterfinals. This is huge. I mean, 24 robots and Nightcrawlers there, our little team from the Twin Cities, what? Then we came back to Minnesota, to the U of M again, and we competed in the Minnesota State High School League competition. There we won with the help of two other Minnesota teams. Because of our exceptional performance at St. Louis, we got invited to the highest regarded off-season competition in the world. It was in Indiana, so luckily we didn't have to cross any oceans or anything like that. But anyways, in Indiana, we got 13th place after qualifications. And this is pretty big, because this was our first year going ever.
So we brought another robot with us to that conference, and it played in the 2013 game. Its name is Silverfish. So the basics of the game was you have to shoot frisbees into goals of different heights, and at the end of the match you have an option where you can climb the pyramid, which you can see in the picture, and it has three different rungs of heights. Our robot could shoot frisbees into a goal about this big from 50 feet away and make it 80% of the time, and it could also climb that bottom rung at the end of the match.
Silverfish had a pretty good year itself. Neither of us were on the team back then, because this is 2013. I was in seventh grade. She was probably in eighth. But our team did rather well. We went to Duluth, and we competed in the 10th, no, we competed in the Lake Superior Regional. Here, we won, and then we came back to the Twin Cities to compete in the 10,000 Lakes Regional, and we won that as well. Because we had won at least one regional, we got to go to Worlds. This was the first time our Nightcrawler team had ever been to St. Louis. And we got into quarterfinals of our division. That is pretty big, considering this was our first time even going to St. Louis. Then we came back to the Twin Cities for the Minnesota State High School League competition, and we won that as well. So Silverfish had a great year as well as Termite. Champs can be kind of hard to explain, so I'm just going to show you a series of pictures that help you understand the hugeness of champs. This is about 5,000 R2-D2s. This represents approximately how many robots there are in the world. And you may see that little yellow square in the middle. That's us, our little team from the Twin Cities. And for, I want to say, about 8 weeks, we had competition season. There were competitions every weekend all over the world. And the winners of the competitions, the teams that received wild cards, and the teams that won certain awards, for example, chairmans, got to go to Worlds. There were, I want to say, about 800 teams at Worlds, and they divided us into eight different divisions with approximately 100 robots each. You can notice that we're right there. Our little square of Nightcrawler is in the blue division. You may want to keep that in mind. So each division has its own set of finals. Each division has its own quarterfinals, semifinals, and actual finals. And they kind of look like that. In the blue division on the top, you can see little yellow dots. That is our robot. And it has made it to the end of finals in our division. Keep in mind that this is Termite and not Silverfish. Then the winners of each bracket got to go to the final championship field. And our little robot in blue, sixth from the top, is in quarterfinals. Our little team from the Twin Cities got it into quarterfinals. So you can imagine how many people were there to watch finals. And just looking at that, you can see how big it was. We filled up half an NFL stadium. That's where the Rams used to play, and us robotics geeks filled up half of it. And you can see our drive team is on many, many screens, so the world knew who we were. This is How many teams from what states made it to the final championship field? And you'll notice there's only one team in Minnesota who made it to the championships. That's us. There's also three teams from Canada and two from Israel. Robotics is not limited to the United States. We cover the entire globe.
Just to show you a match that we ended up playing, this is a match that got us into the final field at championship.
Just to show some things, the top section is a top-down of the entire field. The left-hand square is one alliance's courtyard, and the right hand is the other. You will see that we will be starting, I believe it's on the top a little bit to the right. Look for 2052.
One, charge! And here we go, Carson, finals match number two. The Blue Alliance playing to stay alive. We are gonna come out of autonomous red with a 5-point lead. But with how close our matches have been on Carson, that could make the difference. Right off the bat, Petty School Robotics and Kilobytes going for shots for points for the Blue Alliance. The pink team playing defense for Blue. They've raised their scaling arm. It appears they want to try to use that to block shots. They're getting in the way of Nightcrawler. Nightcrawler deciding if they should shoot or move. During that standoff, Team Tater is able to get a shot away. Well, Nightcrawler's shot goes too high. At this point, only two defenses remain in each outer work. RoboJack is playing defense for the Red Alliance. They push Petty School Robotics up against the wall, but Petty School Robotics able to get one in the logo for two. Blue in the lead by 10 points, but Kilobytes makes that 15 with a high shot. Red responds, Nightcrawler up high. The pink team's defense. The Red Alliance is figuring it out and figuring out how to score despite that defense. Blue is as well. Petty School Robotics and Kilobytes both get shots away. 30 seconds left. Red with a slight lead. The Blue Alliance tower has been weakened. Red can now capture that tower. Team Taters scaling the Blue Alliance tower as Nightcrawler gets a shot away. 10 seconds to go. The pink team preparing to scale. One boulder is all that Blue needs to be able to weaken the tower. Petty School Robotics trying to get it in the final second, but it rolls back down the batter. The Red Alliance already up by one. And they are our Carson Subdivision winners! 192 to 132. Our Red number four Alliance is going to Einstein.
So robotics matches are not that long, 2.5 minutes. But it's very exciting. That was the match that sent us to finals, and the audio wasn't that great, but our team was yelling our heads off. So, other than building and competing with amazing robots, why would you want to join robotics? Well, first of all, there's a lot of real-life preparation. First off, we have deadlines. In FIRST Robotics Competition, we have 6 weeks to build a robot. A robot! NASA spends years building their Mars rovers, and we have 6 weeks. That's only 42 days. And we still have school. Halfway through, the semester ends, so that means we have finals, and we have to study for finals, build a robot, program a robot. Ugh. It gets kind of crazy. We also never have enough money or time. Because we don't have enough money to buy new sensors, new wheels, different things to put on our robot, we are taking apart some of our old robots to put the older equipment onto our new robot. We also use the engineering process. The engineering process consists of strategy, prototyping, designing, and then finally building to put it onto our robot. If you want to work for NASA or someone else who engineers things, if you want to build a spacecraft, you're going to have to know this. So why not learn when you're, say, fourth grade? We also use computer science. Our team programs with Java. Adults, do any of you use Java? I see a couple. Nice. If you're going to be a programmer, so if you're going to build a game, build an app, be a software developer, you're going to need to know some language, if not Java. So why not learn now? We also have business skills. Running a team is kind of like running a business. You have to budget so that you know what you can spend and what you can't buy. We also use teamwork. It took a team to build Termite. It took a team to program Termite. It took a team to put together this presentation. No joke. It takes a team to do a lot of stuff, and if there's only one person, nothing would get done. So we have to work together, or else no robot.
Here's a photo of us going through our prototyping phase, and in this photo we are testing our shooting mechanism, whether we are going to use a catapult or a wheeled shooter. So we were shooting them to see which one was more accurate, which one was faster, all that kind of stuff. At the end of the prototyping phase, we decided to go with the catapult. During our build season and during the entire season, in reality, we use CAD, which is computer-aided design. And this is what our robot looked like in the CAD model. So this can be used for looking to see if a part will fit in a robot, or if you need a dimension, you can also go in and take a measurement of something so then you can go and build it.
We also use Scrum. Scrum is an organizational tool that helps us decide what needs to happen before something else. An example of this would be our robot has to drive, because that's very important. Our robot does not necessarily have to light up and look cool, because that won't help us perform any better than if it didn't happen. Adults, do any of you use Scrum in your jobs? Yeah, that's quite a few of you. We also use Java. I mentioned this before. But Java is a C-based language that we use to program our robot. Adults, do any of you program with C-based languages? Nice.
This is a picture of math. We do use math, as you can see.
Lots of math. It takes math.
So during competitions, there's this thing called scouting, which is basically watching other robots to see if they would work well with your alliance, or the complete opposite if you decide not to, if they would not work well with your alliance. Many teams during the competition use paper scouting, where they have a piece of paper in front of them and they're just taking data with a pen or a pencil.
But a couple years ago, one of our members decided it would be much easier if we could just have an app. So he made this app, and it's fully customizable, and it's free. You can download it on the Google Play Store or get it from GitHub. It's also open source. But what gets FIRST teams excited about it is that it's fully customizable. So if you care if a robot looks cool, you can have, does it glow? Does it have LEDs? Is it pretty? As your metrics. Or if you care about how often it shoots, you can have how many boulders did it shoot, and how many did it actually score. So it's fully customizable, and we have many teams around the world that use it right now.
So you must be wondering, how do I join an amazing first team? Well, there are a few different ways that you can do this. The first one is starting a team. We recommend this for junior First LEGO League and First LEGO League just because of the size of the teams and the amount of money that it takes to start one. At our game night, you can pick up a handout and follow the step-by-step instructions on how to do that. Also, if you decide to start a team, tweet us at team2052 and let us know about it. If you need any help at all, remember to email us at info@team2052.com and we can answer any questions you might have.
You may also want to join a team. We recommend this for First Robotics Competition because a First Robotics Competition team is kind of like a football team in ways. And you don't want to have a football team that's just you, your kid, and your kid's best friend, because that won't really work. So if you want to do that, go to firstinspires.org again, and you're going to search for a team at your child's age level and enter a city near you. So since I live in the suburbs of Minneapolis, I would search for a team in the Minneapolis area. I don't have to do that, though. Then, if you need any help or have any questions, email info@team2052.com.
So teams always need mentors for you adults out there. And there's a few reasons why you should do this. You have a great impact on students. You're working with them to teach them the engineering process, and maybe one day they're going to go into that as their career. You inspire the next generation, and you get to work in a fast-paced engineering challenge. The competitions are friendly and competitive. This is not Packers versus Vikings. It's also fun. You have a lot of fun working with students, but you also get to do a lot of hands-on stuff.
If you're going to mentor, you're going to want to have a couple skills. First, you're going to want to have the ability to work with children. That one's kind of obvious because you're going to be working with children and you want to be able to do that well. You're also going to need teaching skills. You'll be teaching kids like us things like how to program in Java, how to use CAD, what the best way it is to build a robot. And so you need to teach us. And you're also going to need patience because we might not get it right away. It'll maybe take a few times before we fully understand it. And you're going to have to reiterate and restate and tell us over and over and over. You're also going to need business concepts. Like I said before, running a first team is kind of like running a small business, and so you're going to need to know about budgeting. If you want to come meet our robots and see them in action, you may want to come to game night tonight, and we're going to be demoing our robots from 7 until 9, both of them. Termite and Silverfish will also be demoed at our session tomorrow in Aurelia at 3. I want to take a minute to talk about my experience with Nightcrawler, and Neely will do that as well. I joined Nightcrawler when I went to their informational meeting. I didn't quite know what I was jumping into. It was kind of like, okay, I guess I'm in it now. Cool. And I went to the team building meeting, and I made a bunch of new friends, and I found out I was surrounded by geeks like me. It was so cool. I also made a lot of upperclassmen friends, including Neely here, and that is great because if I need help with math homework, I can just call one of them up. Science homework, same thing. In build season, it was kind of over my head, but I got on, and I understood some of it. I hope to understand more of it. But I had a ton of friends and mentors to help me along whenever I needed it.
So I joined the team 2 years ago, a year before Emily did, and walking into the informational meeting was honestly a little bit scary. I knew no one, I knew one person, and I didn't really know what it was about. I had no idea what FIRST Robotics was, and they were all talking about it like they were professionals about it. So I went into the meeting, I got some information, they were all super friendly and super nice. Now fast forward 2 years where I'm standing right now, I'm the 2016-2017 team captain. I'm a strategist, I work with the scouting team, and I'm also on the chairman's presentation team.
I wanted to take a moment now to thank some people. First, I'd like to thank again Clark and Carrie for asking us to do this. This was an amazing experience. Thank you. I would also like to thank Team 2052 Nightcrawler in general for being awesome. Hi, guys, if you're watching. And especially, I'd like to thank our two of our mentors, Nate and Katie, for answering any questions whenever we needed questions answered. I'd also like to thank my dad. My dad brought me to that conference 2 years ago, and I didn't really know what I was getting into with presenting. Now, 3 years later, I'm giving a keynote. He's also our programming mentor. He came in when we had no other programming mentors, so he held the entire programming team. Also, Dad, happy birthday.
So now, since we have time, do we have time? Okay, cool. This is our chairman's video, so I said that we submit a 3-minute video for chairman's, and that's due around in February. So this is the video that we submitted.
When I was a freshman, I had no direction of where I wanted to be. I was under the impression
that STEM just wasn't for me. But then through a strange connection, I heard of the world of first and immersed myself in my high school team, where I became a part of something
greater than me. That was 4 years ago. Since then, we have grown
4 times in size while mirroring the diversity of our city
and amplifying the varsity sport for the mind in our growing influence of first and STEM. This began locally.
Parades and fairs made us pique interest as we shared STEM vocally for the furtherance of FIRST.
This meant showing the community we care by volunteering everywhere.
And we grew our presence gradually, aspiring to
disperse the message of FIRST among youth,
consistently immersing them in STEM annually, going to summer academy, schools, and the Children's Museum,
using the medium of demoing to introduce them to STEM in an engrossing way.
Likewise, we take our inventions to conventions,
like Life Science Alley and next going to Robotics Alley Conference and Expo.
Now, exponentially growing, we knowingly extended our efforts in STEM.
From local to national, when we
took our STEM advocacy to Washington, D.C., and sent our STEM sentiments to senators and congressmen. In essence, our goal is to attain
worldwide connections. We do this with our media presence, spreading the influence of FIRST globally.
From chatting about FIRST openly on Radio Disney and many other news interviews on TV,
but also creating our own FIRST parody, a weekly YouTube series, and being engaged on social media
via our 4 internet platforms and other online discussion forums. Furthermore, we ensure all our contributions to FIRST are quality.
So in order to share our knowledge, we've given seminars
spanning 7 separate topics of technology.
And when tallied, they have incrementally increased annually.
Additionally, we invest countless hours creating our own scouting app,
approved globally and available for free,
called FRC Crawler.
But in all our endeavors to represent FIRST, perhaps our best work
is every hour our volunteers spent during the past season at FIRST events
that we went to or co-hosted, like Week Zero, which is focused on
providing other teams the means they need to compete regionally to the peak of their ability.
We volunteer locally.
We advocate nationally.
We interact globally.
To spread the word of FIRST
and foster future STEM leaders.
We make a difference.
We make an impact.
We make it loud.
So, yeah. So, yeah.
Did we achieve our goal? Are you inspired? Hope to see you next year.
Okay, I'm sorry.
Just hit it. There you go. Just hit it. Okay. Did you guys actually tell him how old you were?
No.
How old are you?
I'm 14.
I'm 16.
What grade does that make you in?
10.
Second grade? 10?
Yeah.
10th grade?
Yeah. I'm going into 11th grade.
All right. What's 10th grade? Is that a freshman?
Sophomore.
Okay. I'm not even into 6th grade yet, so. All right. What's next?
Do we want to do questions?
No, no, no. What's next for the robot?
Oh, we're going to be at game night, and we're going to be there from 7 until 9 if you want to see our robots.
So we got to find a place for it. It may be in a hallway, maybe in here. So look around for people dodging flying objects. What's
we'll
next for the robot next year?
Oh, well, we are going to possibly 2 off-season competitions this year in the fall. And then the robot will become a full-time demo bot, so it will no longer be playing in any competitions, and then we build another one.
Have you learned how to TIG weld aluminum yet?
She's on build team.
What?
TIG weld aluminum. Oh, yeah, we're gonna talk. Okay. Is there any questions? Do you guys have any questions for these two lovely ladies?
Anything?
Yes. Can you make any kind of robot?
We have to make a robot that will play certain games. So as you saw with First Stronghold, our robot has to play that game. So we also will make different robots just to like show off at our school. For example, we're currently working on a robot that shoots t-shirts into the stands at homecoming.
We had one. It was a giant welded metal knight that held a sword, and it was kind of heavy.
I could use one of those.
Do you want
it? Doesn't
it?
Work, and it's been taken apart.
No, you can have it.
I need to shoot some t-shirts at some people.
It doesn't work very well. We ended up throwing the t-shirts.
Yeah.
In the back. Say that again. Scream it.
So different teams have different plans for how they're going to design their robot. We have seen wooden robots, but if you do have the money and the patience and the time to work with metal, a lot of teams also do that. Does that answer your question? Okay, cool.
So usually a certain type of metal? Is it steel? Is it aluminum?
It's whatever you want, but
we use a lot of aluminum.
Yeah. The weight limit is 120 pounds, so using steel might not be the best question. What did we make our robot out of? Well, there's some plastic parts. There's the base is made out of aluminum mostly, but there's also a bunch of different materials that we use for different parts of the robot.
It's really just a combination of parts that somehow work together. I don't quite understand it.
So like software.
Yeah.
One time we had pool noodles like attached to our robot. Yeah, it's very interesting. So that depends on what kind of program you're in. Mm-hmm. When you're in First Tech Challenge, you use the VEX model stuff. And then when you get into First Robotics Competition, it's kind of a free-for-all.
Yeah.
There's limits on how much you can spend on a certain part. And they also give you a kit of parts that you can use for like the radio and stuff like
that. Yeah, but for example, in First Robotics Competition, we all use the same type of brain kind of to control our robot. That's required, and there are some things that we're just not allowed to use. I don't know any off the top of my head, but yeah.
So tomorrow afternoon and Wednesday afternoon we have a VEX session and a pile of VEX robots in the back corner being given by Ben Gavin and his son Christopher. So if you want to play with some VEX robots and build them, we've got a stack of them.
Don't believe
I'm
so.
Not entirely sure. I'm just a first-year member.
Okay.
If you want to reuse any code, you have to open source it.
Thank you, Scott.
Thanks, Dad. He's our programming mentor.
If you want to reuse it, you have to open source it. What's the thinking behind that? I'm curious about Scott's comment, though, the reuse piece.
Well, for example, for the past couple of years, we've been using the same drivetrain, and so we'll just reuse the code for the driving.
I gotcha.
Makes sense.
Between bots mm-hmm. and stuff.
Was there a question?
There was a question over here. Where do you get your budget?
We have a public relations sub-team, and they apply for different grants, and we also do fundraisers, but it's a lot of grants.
Yeah. There's a question back there. Why don't they jump?
It's a 120-pound robot.
You have to build it in six
weeks.
Budget.
Unless there was a game that required us to jump, we probably wouldn't.
Any other things?
Any more? Yes. Did you use 3D printing? That's a great question.
I don't know that answer. I know that I think a few years ago we 3D printed a part and put it on a robot just as a customizable design. But we do 3D printing. We have these little buttons that some of our team members have, so that's normally what it's used for.
Do you have access to a 3D printer?
Yes,
someone on our team
does.
Is
it like a commercial 3D printer or like a MakerBot?
I'm not sure.
MakerBot?
There you go.
Thanks, Dad.
How much does it cost to make?
A lot.
Yeah. All right, so the limit is $5,000. I don't know how high ours was.
$4,999.
And 99 cents?
99 cents.
I don't know if that's true or not.
But then you end up spending more money on other things during the season, so.
But then again, we also reuse a lot of parts, so that doesn't go towards our budget since we already own them.
Yeah.
All right, we will take one more question. You look like you want to answer a question. Oh, you're just yawning, stretching?
Stretching.
Sorry, just kidding. One more. Is anybody going to go to Vex thing now? Yeah? Anybody want to get hit by a dodgeball?
No.
I do. All right, well, thank you very much for coming. Thank you for standing up here.
Okay,
you guys enjoy your day. We're going to have some animals at 1 o'clock. You going to come back for that?